of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to gentle light to you, moon and stars pour their healing light on you. Deep peace of Christ, of Christ.
May I give you all a very warm welcome to Wilmslow Methodist Church and to this service of thanksgiving for the life of our treasured and much loved friend Muriel. Muriel was a member of this church for nearly 30 years, and in that time blessed and touched many through her deep love of God's word, her faithfulness and love. I welcome family and friends and neighbours from around the country who've joined us to praise God for her long and wonderful life. Our first hymn was one marked in Muriel's hymn book, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we gather to praise you and thank you for Muriel's life, to rejoice in all that she has meant to us, to give you all the glory for her. Accept our profound thanksgiving for the love that she has shared with us, for all the ways in which she encouraged and inspired us. We thank you for her example and her witness and her lifelong journey of faith expressed in love and action. We also come before you with the sad feelings of loss and our need to support one another. God, our Father, you care for us with a love so tender, so gentle, so strong, with a love which stretches out into all eternity. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for your deep love and the strength, comfort, and peace you bring us today through your presence with us. We especially pray that you will comfort and support Anne, Tony, Simeon and Naomi and all the family. May your peace ease the heartbreak ache of grief, and may your Holy Spirit lift us above our sorrow to the peace and light of your constant love, in the hope of our resurrection faith through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Hear now our reading from the book of Romans.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Nothing separated Muriel from her love and awareness of God. One of my most moving visits was in the last week of Muriel's life. She was unwell and confused and a bit anxious. So I just said, I've come to read to you from the Bible. And she instantly calmed and made herself ready to listen. I lost count of how many passages we shared. After each one, when I commented, that was a good one, wasn't it? She said, absolutely, absolutely. Did she want to hear another one? Oh, yes. Even in the frustration of dementia, her faith and awareness of God's presence was there with her. Whenever I went to visit and offered to pray, she always ended up praying for me, asking how ministry was going, encouraging. She would often say, he's there, he knows. We don't call on God enough. He lives in here. Just tell him about it. Her calm assurance reflected in her favourite verse that's on the order of service, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. Early on, Muriel told me that she'd been taught to pray on her mother's knee. And she made a commitment to follow Jesus aged 9 at the Junior Endeavour Group of the Wesleyan Reformed Church in Wolverhampton. Her mother's teaching, her reading of scripture, her insights from preaching shaped her. Struggling as a new teacher in 1937, she wrote in her memoirs, "At church one Sunday, a young man preached about the power of God to help us in our difficulties and how that power could be ours. I asked God to help me overcome my temper. He did so, and I trusted him, and life became different. I found that the power of God's Holy Spirit was real, and it still is." Church was always part of her life, and Cliff College, the Methodist college in Calver, Derbyshire, that she first visited in 1939, became a spiritual home and a place of nourishment, and where she would meet her husband, Bill. The annual Keswick Convention was also later valued by them as a place for biblical renewal and worship. Muriel was completely ecumenical, brought up in the Wesleyan Church, confirmed in the Anglican Church, worshipping for a time in the cathedral in Hong Kong. She attended the Catholic Church here with Anne, received communion at St. Anne's on Thursdays. Nothing separated Muriel from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Even at one of the most difficult times of her life, at the end of Bill's life, she wrote that they were very much aware of God's presence, his guidance and peace. Muriel always had much wisdom to share in Bible studies. She's been described to me at church as spiritually wise, one who in prayer always asks God to draw near to those in need. I know that she kept in her prayers those whom she journeyed with over the years, including the young men from Hong Kong who went on into ministry. It's lovely that the Reverend Sandra Marshall is here today. Muriel taught Sandra when she was in junior school and later continued to encourage her and talk with her about her walk with God. We rejoice in the resurrection promise in that reading that nothing can separate us from God's love. And we give thanks today that Muriel now knows that love in all its completeness, returned into the arms of her Lord and Saviour. As a teacher of English, Muriel loved poetry. She was brought up with books around her. And Naomi's now going to read to us one of her favourite poems.
So this is Home Thoughts from Abroad by Robert Browning. Oh, to be in England now that April's there, and whoever wakes in England sees some morning unaware that the lowest boughs and the brushwood sheaf round the elm tree bole are in tiny leaf, while the chaffinch sings on the orchard bough, in England, now. And after April, when May follows, and the white throat builds and all the swallows, hark, where my blossomed pear tree in the hedge leans to the field and scatters on the clover blossoms and dewdrops at the bent spray's edge. That's the wise thrush. He sings each song twice over, lest you should think he could never recapture that the first fine, careless rapture. And though the fields look rough with hoary dew, all will be gay when noontide wakes anew. The buttercups, the little children's dower, far brighter than this gaudy melon flower.
you will all have come with your own memories of Muriel. And after the service, we do hope that you will join us for refreshments in the church hall. But now welcome Anne and then Simeon to share your memories. Thank you.
Welcome to everyone from far and wide. Far and wide because Mum lived in a variety of places and collected and kept friends from wherever she lived. I especially want to welcome the Stoves family, Dad's cousin's sons, whom Mum also regarded as her family. Today is an auspicious date, November the 12th. And where were you 3 years ago? Some of us were at the Audley Edge Hotel on this day, today, to celebrate Mum's forthcoming 100th. Life is full of strange coincidences. And what a celebration it was. Mum unexpectedly took the microphone from my hand, made a speech without hesitation, deviation or repetition, which is an admirable feat considering she had vascular dementia. This speech summed up one characteristic of mother: determination. So let's focus on this word. Born weighing 3.5 pounds, despite predictions from the doctor that this child will do no good, so turn her over, she was determined to survive with the help of the indomitable Granny Wilkes, who fed her cow and gate milk, and being from a good Methodist family, brandy. For medicinal purposes only, of course. So Muriel survived, unlike her two brothers. The next streak of determination was shown by her wanting to be a teacher. In 1934, not many women went away from home to train, but Mum went to Brighton Teacher Training College, paid for by her not very well-off parents. And whilst in Brighton, Mum fell in love with the Sussex Downs, walking and discovering wildflowers. After Brighton, she did what all unmarried women did. She went back home to Wolverhampton to live with her parents. Not for Mum a cosy, easy school for her first placing, but she chose Old Fallings All Girls Secondary Modern School. Her class comprised 42 11-year-old D stream rough and toughs. She was told by the children that they hated her, but did she resign? Nope. She persevered, eventually won them round, gained their respect, and stayed for many years. August 1946, post-war, Mum revisited Cliff College, Derbyshire, for the Whitsun weekend and saw a dashing young RAF flight lieutenant in uniform holding the crowd's attention. Now, it is said that every woman loves a man in uniform, but Mum was very shy, very retiring, and not one to make conversation with strangers. Difficult to believe. So she nearly fainted when young Bill tried to serve her porridge. Well, tried as hard as she could, Mum hated porridge, refused it, and was told by Bill to eat it up. It's good for you. She didn't eat it up, but from then on was starstruck, only to think, well, I bet he's got loads of girlfriends and won't even look at me. She wrote to him. No reply. So she dismissed him from her thoughts. The next year, 1947, at Cliff College, they were formally reintroduced. Dad admitted he had lost Mum's letter and the address. And after a very brief courtship, they married in 1948. And Dad, still being in the RAF, was posted here and there. So Mum was still living at home with her now widower father. In 1950, Dad left the RAF as he felt called to do God's work, so he joined SASRA. The little family of Stowes, now with an 18-month-year-old toddler, went off to Hong Kong in 1953 for a 4-year contract on a troop ship, taking 6 weeks to get there. Think of that. A letter home once a week, no text, no WhatsApp. But they had Grandpa Timmins' blessing to go. Determined to make the most of Hong Kong, Mum learnt basic Cantonese, taught full-time at the Army School Gun Club, and she loved the experience but yearned for England, the seasons and the flowers. One day, a high-ranking Army officer came to the school to tell Mum that he was concerned that Mum's teaching standards fell short of what was needed for his boy to get into Repton. Mum listened, and then her determined retort was, "Colonel, I don't tell you how to do your job, so don't tell me how to do mine." Mum always gave her opinion politely, never raising her voice, but she could hit the bullseye. No more the shy young woman, and the son got into Repton. We returned to the UK in 1957 on the same troop ship via Cape Horn due to the Suez crisis and settled for a short time in Carn, Wiltshire, the Downs, and the countryside was a joy. Mum got a job at Carn Secondary Modern, and a few years ago when she was 90 plus, I took her on a trip down memory lane to see Carn and her school. Imagine her amazement when we were shown round the building which used to house her classroom, now the HQ for the Masons. Mum showed two very obliging Masons her classroom, now bedecked with blue velvet regal chair and some very strange symbols on the floor. We were rather amused as to what it had become. As Grandpa Timmins was ageing, we returned to Wolverhampton to be near him, so Mum got a job at Graysley Secondary Modern, all boys. This was 1960. Enoch Powell was the MP, and the school then was 50% ethnic minority. The head poked his head into the room one day when Mum was teaching and asked the boys if they were behaving well for the only female teacher. No chance of misbehaving for Mrs. Stowes, was the retort. Dad fancied a change of career, so we moved to Stafford in 1962 with Grandpa and Sookie the Labrador dog. After a short time at Penkridge Secondary, Mum applied to Liso's junior school so she could walk to work. Well, this was a big change. She taught 10 to 11-year-olds, full-time as always, until she retired, age 62. On retirement, Mum and Dad moved to Nailsea, where they lived until he died in 1989. They enjoyed holidays in the caravan all over France and the UK, their favourite places being the Lake District, Northumberland, Cornwall and Dorset. Mum suffered from vertigo, but Dad dragged her up the mountains. She went, and her determination actually got her to walk along Striding Edge, Helvellyn, which is not for the faint-hearted, as many of you may know. I took one a look at it and reversed steps. Determination meant that Mum was a can-do, will-do, well, at least will try. This is shown by her wanting to learn to drive in her late 40s. Goodness only knows why she allowed Dad to attempt to teach her and why he attempted to do so. You can imagine the outcome. On a few occasions, we kangarooed along the long roads of Cannock Chase with me in the back trying not to listen until Dad decided enough was enough. He told her she had no hand-eye-feet coordination. So they exchanged seats, and home we went in silence. So that was the end of that. Or was it? Years later, in her late 70s, after Dad had died, she moved up here. Mum admitted that she had in fact gone to driving school for lessons after Dad's failed attempts, determined to show us that she could do it. but after just a few lessons was advised not to waste her money, as her hand, eye and feet coordination was somewhat lacking. Hence, she fell off a bike when she tried to learn, so she never learnt to ride. She couldn't swim, she never played sport, and this is why she only ever walked. Mum was very good at giving advice, as a lot of you know, but not very good at taking it. I always knew when Mum was going to ignore advice, as she would purse her lips, pause, and then say, "Well, we shall see about that, Anne." I then knew she would quietly go and try and do it without telling anyone. After Dad died in October 89, Mum moved to Wilmslow to be near us, as she'd had pneumonia in her 60s and got bad chest infections each winter, so thought it would be easier for me. She became very much part of the family, Sunday lunch, special days and days outings together. We walked, she read, or had a short walk wherever. This was mainly October to April, as spring to autumn, she or we were often away. One autumn, she told me with great glee that she had been away 13 times since the spring. She was a regular partaker of Virgin Train customer care until her mid-90s. She developed a liking for the odd cruise or two, flew by herself to Northern Ireland to see one of the ex-SASRA National Servants lads from Hong Kong, now a Methodist minister. She helped with reading at Fulshaw School, stopping when she was 90, and she visited the elderly, but shh, Anne, don't tell them my age, I'm a lot older than they are. She was involved in the church here with various groups. She took French lessons and, as the staff in Brookview can confirm, still spoke French to the end, even teaching them the odd phrase. Mum gave me a love of poetry and English literature, reflected in the service. We had theatre trips to Stratford when I was a teenager, seeing potential star actors. A love of history was nourished by trips every year to London museums and sites here and there. And a love of wildflowers, even though she was no gardener. Despite a fall aged 97 and two fractures, she was determined to walk through the pain and never complained. So you never really knew how ill she was. You had to guess. A chest infection was always just a bit of catarrh. This amazing lady, birth weight less than two bags of sugar, survived TB. You might have noticed she had a neck scar from a TB gland removal. She had pernicious anemia, which she had to fight. She had pneumonia and then chest infections each year, every winter. Well, they do say creaking gates last longest. So farewell, Mum. Thank you for the companionship you gave to people, the interest you showed in people, and the interest you showed in everything, because you kept wanting to learn and know.
Thought I'd say a few words about G as a grandmother. And it's funny, Katie had mentioned it, and I started thinking about this on the last day I saw G, and I'd been sitting with her for about 5 hours, and Katie, I'd been sitting silently, not saying anything. Katie had done her Bible stories, so I felt a bit guilty. So I thought I'd better read to her. And I picked up a book, and it was a friendship book. And knowing how close G's love for God was, and she'd probably say it was divine intervention, I flicked open onto page January the 16th. And it was all about grandparents. And I thought, well, that's really nice. And it made me reflect about kind of some of the stories we had as grandchildren. And it was almost... it was an amazing little reflection, and I wanted to kind of spend a bit of time just reading through some of those paragraphs. Grandmothers have been likened to angels in training, it said, filling homes of new arrivals with much love and happiness. Another quote was, a grandmother, someone else has said, is a little bit parent, a little bit teacher, and a little bit best friend. And that sort of brought back a few memories. So the little bit parent kind of made me smile and reflect a bit, remembering the Friday nights around at Westwood Road, and Naomi and I, we'd pop down, we'd eat raw jelly, because we weren't allowed to eat that at home. We'd watch Grange Hill, because we weren't allowed to watch Grange Hill at home, and then Neighbours, and then The Simpsons, and we'd sit there and just chill out, have a nice relaxing time. We'd spend Saturday nights there when Mum and Dad were out, and we'd get up early at 6 a.m. to watch Transworld Sport, because again, we weren't allowed to do that at home. So very much a nice little bit parent that reminds us. And of course, Mum mentioned the kind of holidays we used to have at the Isles of Scilly as well. Very strong, fond times and memories. A little bit teacher drew more painful memories, and I think everyone's mentioned her love of grammar and spelling. My memories were slightly less, more painful, down to having to do the following 3 weeks' worth of lessons that I hadn't had to prepare for yet every time I went on the Friday, around how best to spell and whether my grammar was correct. And again, on the French always had to be very bang on. I'm sure that, like Mum said, Brookview will attest that French certainly did not diminish with age. And then the little bit best friend reminded me of something that I'm not overly sure whether or not my parents know about yet, but when G caught me stealing from W.H. Smith some football cards. Now, she never told me off. She kind of silently, quietly showed me why it was wrong, pointed out the security cameras above, and then we had a quiet conversation in the car at the end where she pulled out the football stickers that I'd tried to steal, that she'd paid for, and kind of reminded me that doing the right thing and doing the best thing was really important. So, small memories. The final quote in the book was a nice one as well. So, it is such a grand thing to be the mother of a mother. That's why the world calls her a grandmother. So G was obviously so grand, she deserved the great grandmother title. And seeing my kids with her, and being asked about their interests, talking to her about history, and then being surprised, and surprising them and scaring them about the fact that their books would be kicked out because their grammar and their writing weren't good enough, always drew a smile to my face, and you could see a cheeky little smile in her eye as well. So, just a few memories. But for G, for mine and them, is Angel in Training. Thank you for them all. And I think you graduated. Rest in peace.
Thank you so much for sharing those memories with us. The words of our next hymn invite us to reflect on God's faithfulness to us. Muriel, deeply aware of God's faithfulness to her, it shaped how she lived and inspired her to talk to others about her faith. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
David. Linda's now going to come and share with us William Wordsworth's poem, Daffodils.
Daffodils by William Wordsworth. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretched in never-ending line along the margin of a bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not but be gay in such a jocund company. I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth the show to me had brought. For oft, when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils.
Thank you. We come to our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. God, source of all life, mysterious, profound, generous in love, we give thanks because we have seen you in Muriel. We give thanks for her life, for all that she was, for all that she gave of herself to family, to friends, to the church and community. We give thanks for the determination of her grandmother Wilkes, who had the determination to defy the doctor and nurture baby Muriel to life, and for the loving family that nurtured her in love and faith. We give thanks for her love of children and her many years of teaching. We thank you for Muriel's interest in people and her choice to see them through your eyes, for her sincere kindness and care. We thank you for her strong, inspiring, lifelong faith, for her love of your word, her deep trust in and love of you. We thank you for the encouragement that she gave us in our faith journeys, praying for us, giving us nuggets of wisdom, and for her real example of grace. We thank you for her encouragement and support, her can-do attitude, her strength and the determination which may be what helped to keep her going to 102. Also for her sense of fun and adventure, and for her beautiful smile and warmth which we shall miss. We thank you for her deep love of Anne and Tony, Simeon and Fiona, Zach and Bee, Naomi and Oliver, and all the wider family, and for the lifetime of love that she shared with Bill. We thank you too for the staff of Brookview who cared for her so well in recent years. In a moment of quiet, we recall our best memories of Muriel, and we give you our thanks. For all that made her unique and special to us, we give our thanks and praise. For Muriel, death is past, and she knows deep peace and love in all its completeness. For us, there is sorrow and loss, but we know and trust that you, God, are the giver of all comfort, and that we are never out of reach of your love. Sustain us and strengthen us, we pray, in all the emotions of this day. Enfold us in your deep love and reassurance. Give us all your peace and your strength. Help us to cast every care on you and know the comfort of your love, as together we release Muriel into the mystery of love that never dies. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn is another chosen by Muriel for today, which sums up her faith. She would want us to rejoice in our Lord and King. Rejoice. Just been reading Muriel's memoirs. And when I came to the end, I thought, let's hear her words reflecting back on her life. In 2010, writing at nearly aged 94, Muriel wrote, "Life has been and still is very interesting. And with God as my guide and the Lord Jesus as my friend, I feel that I'm enjoying abundant life. I thank God for all his help and mercies, and above all for my loving, caring, and very helpful family. They really are wonderful. The longer I live, the more I realize how much there is to learn. Life is very demanding, very rewarding, and at times very frustrating, but what a wonderful gift it is. Thanks be to God for life abundant and for his continued presence and care." And she ends, "Once more, I give thanks to God for his love and care and guidance throughout all the years, which are full of wonderful memories. At times I've wondered if he has been there, but he has, and he has never failed me. So I say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, praise his holy name. God, our Creator and Redeemer, into your keeping we commend your servant Muriel Stoves. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the joy of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so may you go assured of his presence, assured of his love and his peace. May you go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're invited to sit and listen and watch this piece of music, Eli Jenkins' prayer, every morning when I wake. Dear Lord, a little prayer I make.